Series of new Sunday school classes so far. We have looked at repentance. Have a better understanding, biblical understanding of that. We've looked at saving faith. And then last week we looked at what is the gospel. And this morning we will study and look at verses on the evidence of salvation, the evidence of salvation. So I want you to start off the class. I'd like you to have you turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye," what? "Sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." And now who is that? Jesus Christ the righteous. "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby," now this is the key I want you to understand, when it comes to the evidence of salvation, God knows whether you're saved or not. Even when you doubt it, God knows whether you're saved or not. And I'll give you verses to show that in a second. But it says, "And hereby," what? "We know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God," what? "Perfected." It's come to completion. It's come to maturity. It's perfected. "Hereby," what? "Know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." The key, so many times people say, well, if there's not the right evidence, you know, we always judge the fruit of how somebody is by what we have in our lives. Now, you can't tell me you've never thought this. You've dealt with somebody and you go, man, they said they're saved, but man, how do you know they're saved? They don't do this, they don't do that, or they do this and they do that. How in the world can they be saved? Okay, and here it's talking about how we know. You need to understand something. The evidence of your salvation before other believers encourages them. Before the lost world, it convicts them. When the evidence is not what it ought to be, and you're a liar because you do not the truth, what happens? You become an excuse for people to reject the truth of salvation. So the evidence of salvation, we're going to look at it this morning. I want you to see with that, it says, you know, "He saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Jump over a page in my Bible. I want you to look at the end of 1 John 3. And again, look for phrases when you want to understand something. 1 John 3, verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in" what? "Word," neither in, "but indeed in truth." Other words, if your words say one thing and your life shows something else, you do not the truth, okay? And hereby, what's that saying again? "We know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have" what? "Confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." There's been believers who refuse to follow the Lord in the way they should. He's convicted of them of something, either to stop or to start, and they don't do it. And then they go, "God doesn't hear my prayers." Well, God's a better father than we ever thought of being. He doesn't reward disobedience. Okay, he doesn't reward disobedience. We're talking about the evidence of salvation this morning. It's the evidence for human beings to see, not for us to judge their salvation, but for us to see. You know, it's very easy when you see someone who's trying to live for the Lord, isn't it? Okay, see, you have that. And this morning, I want you to consider some verses. We just looked at that. You know, we just looked at 1 John 2. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's a verse probably many of you have memorized. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a..." "Old things are..." "Behold, all things are..." present tense, become the imperative new. It's an ongoing process. I am not what I was before I got saved. Am I what all that God would have me to be? No. Philippians 1:6, he hath begun a good work and you will perform it unto the day of. It's not done yet. So if you mess up, get up, confess up, and go forward. That's the Christian walk. That's the Christian life. Okay? Now look at Titus chapter 1, because the evidence of salvation, why is it important? It's important to a lost world, and it's important to encourage other believers. Let me see here. I said Titus 1:16, because are we in the last days or not? Our salvation is nearer than we first believed. And when I say that, I'm talking about the completion of it. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. You trust in anything else, you're going to hell. We'll talk about that in the morning service. Joe, I'm preaching on the invasion of the body snatchers this morning because we're coming into Halloween. All right? But in Titus chapter 1, look at verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they what? Being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. There are some professors who are not possessors. And in the last day, you're going to find that. Right now, it's easier. People are saying, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Do they? Now, you can talk to a Muslim. You know, he believes in Jesus. He believes that he was. He just doesn't believe that he's who he says he is. So I want you to consider that. He warned that there'd be those who profess Christ but deny him in their works. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to hit a lot of verses this morning, and then we'll set a precedent up, and we'll try to bring it, draw it together for you. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal that the Lord knoweth them that are his. Okay? God knows. If our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. I've dealt with believers before. Sometimes they're saved, but they don't have assurance of salvation because their life is not supporting what they know God would have. If our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You ever felt like in a time you doubted whether someone loved you or not? And then when the devil plays with you, because he's the antithesis of love. For God is love, so then what does that make Satan? Okay. God is the good shepherd. Satan is the thief. God so loved, he gave. The thief tries to steal and take from you. Okay, so there's times you're going to doubt whether someone loves you. Be careful if you make that judgment and start reacting to it. Because you know what happens? Some of us have bad days. And things get said that they shouldn't be said, right? Because somebody did something, and I tell you right now, I have to fight it. When you have a certain pain level, you deal with certain things, and then all of a sudden, you can't handle another thing, and something gets said that's innocent, because my wife and I love to tease each other, okay? You have to be careful. I have to be careful that I don't overreact to that, and she looks at me like, where'd that come out of left field? I've used what I had in my flesh to try to deal with what I was going through, and then all of a sudden the wrong words come out. And then you have to take care of that to protect a relationship. Well, you know, the wrong words never come out of God. Never come out of God. God is not a man that he should lie. So I want you to see this. We're looking at this. It says, "In the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his." Now look at the second half of that verse. Because we started off in 1 John, and we were looking at where it says, "And hereby we know." But it says here, "And let every man that nameth the name of Christ do what?" You need to understand, you're not supposed to do the same wrong things you did before. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will. If they don't, you know what they get? They take their lumps. Okay. When I was young, I was once. Okay, it's like that old saying, I was young and now I'm old. I was young once. You turn around, when I was 12, my father, remember, I was 12 and I was already 6'3 and a half. Okay? And I was taking swimming classes down the state park in Fairhaven. And my father decided with Joe the barber in Fairhaven that it'd be a good summer to shave my head. It wasn't in vogue then. You know what was in vogue? Guys trying to pretend that they had, okay, sideburns. Right? By the time I graduated, I had the old mutton chops, you know what I'm saying? But I turn around, I'm 12 years old. I'm already 6'3". I've already realized that there's these things that don't look like me walking around the beach in a bathing suit. And I want to impress them, and my father takes me in there and says, "We are getting a haircut today." And I didn't know what they were doing until all of a sudden there was no scissors and all there was the clippers. And I heard, meh, and I hadn't enlisted. And they shaved my head. A 6'3", 165 at that time, pound cue ball. And I was taking swimming lessons with all those cute girls on the beach. I had no confidence. Because I didn't look like I thought I should look. And the girls laughed at me, which made it worse. And when I say girls, I had 5 sisters older than me. They had a field day with that. Do you know what it's like to have stupid things written on your head in their lipstick? And not realize it? So, yeah, my family's kind of rough at times. All right. So you turn around with this, and I say this for this reason. When we doubt, when we don't know, there's one who does. There's one who loves us, who never rejoices in our iniquity, never rejoices in our failures, never takes the time. It says, "He who sits in heaven shall laugh." He'll have the heathen in derision. He will laugh at stupid things lost people do, but he doesn't at his kids. Because he wants what's best for them. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And then let us, if we name Christ, depart from those things that doesn't show a lost and dying world that we are his. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Said, mourning is the evidence of salvation. The evidence is not for God. God knows all things. As we said, if our heart condemns us and we doubt it, you know, because they said there's people who say, "Yeah, I prayed once, but I'm not sure I'm saved." There's people who pray, they ask Christ to be their Savior, and then they go to a church and they deny certain things in the Word of God. They've truly repented, sought Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then believe they can lose it. I could give you the name of the churches. Eternal security is not in a doctrine of all the churches that profess that you need to pray to be born again and trust Christ. George Whitefield and John Wesley argued that in the newspapers of their day. One, a Presbyterian circuit riding preacher who taught once saved, always saved. And Whitfield was that man. So you know one church. John Wesley, who is the founder of what church? Methodism, and also the Wesleyan church that takes its name from them, taught that you needed to trust Christ as your Savior, and then you had to keep it, that you could lose it. It's funny when you look at that, because then they're making, I had to trust Christ's work to get saved, and I have to trust my work to. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Ephesians chapter 2, start at verse 8. Let me see here. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of what? It is what? Not of what? Lest any man should boast. But verse 10 tells us, for we are his workmanship. Whose workmanship? Jesus Christ. He's begun the work in you, and it says, unto what? Oh, I don't want to break this. I'll get in trouble. Sorry. The cord pulled. It came, clipped off, or came off. We will take care of this. Now things are falling out of my pocket. Are you ready? My wife is gone, and I'm falling apart. All right. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Which God hath before ordained that we should what? The world doesn't see our heart, right? When David was chosen in the Old Testament against his brothers, Samuel looked and he saw the biggest one, Eliab, and he goes, he ought to be the one. And he goes, no. He says, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the what? Outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Man looketh upon the what? That's where the evidence needs to be if you want to see people come to Christ. God already knows. So you see, your salvation is without work. It's God's free gift. But you're created unto good works that shows others, it shows us, that we're saved. Turn to John 3. Told you a lot of verses this morning. John 3. Starts off, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do what? That thou doest except God be with him. You know what he was saying? He observed his what? Works, his actions, and he goes, you must be special. I don't know who you are, but we know you had to come from God because your works declare it. You're different. But one of the keys of salvation is, look at verse 3. Jesus didn't say, oh, thank you, you're right. I'm the second member of the Godhead. You must bow down and worship before me. That's not what he said to him. What did he say? The man observed his works. Nicodemus observed him, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Salvation is a supernatural birth that changes the individual. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, I want you to think about different conversions, and you see them in the scriptures. Every case, their life was changed. In John chapter 4, you have the woman at the well. And we won't turn there, but what she do? She came to the well at a different time because this woman hadn't lived for God. So she was coming when the other women weren't there so she wouldn't be ridiculed. You know, sometimes things gone on in people's life. I've led a prostitute to the Lord. Her life was a mess that caused her to go in that direction. And it started with abuse in her childhood. But she didn't believe that God or anyone could truly love her because of, you don't know what my life is like. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's happened to me. You don't know what I've done. And I said, no, I don't, but there's one who does. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's not somebody I had to beat up with getting them to repent. Do you know that? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am. She knew. So I didn't need to prove that she was lost. I didn't judge her background or her problems. I presented to her one who would love her. On some having compassion, making a... She prayed to receive Christ as her Savior. 6 months later, she died of cancer. 6 months later. We don't know what it's like. The woman at the well, Jesus pointed out, he let her know what's going on. And she goes, where's your husband? And she goes, I have no husband. He says, yeah, you speak right, because you've had seven of them. And the one you're with now is not your husband. She received him, and then she goes in the village and starts saying, come meet a man who told me everything I've ever done. And he offered her forgiveness. You have the woman at the well. It transformed her life. Turn to Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. I love it sometimes. Before, when I was a senior pastor, and I'd sit during the Sunday school class, and I'd be in, Pastor Kenny would be teaching here because we changed positions, and I'd listen to the songs they teach the kids in the nursery, right? And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He's a tax collector. And he had what the world says you need. He was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Someone that everybody did not want to see, you don't want to make eye contact with the IRS, with the tax collector. You don't want to do that. You don't want to deal with somebody who has a lot more than you have, because they're going to judge your shabby clothes. See, because you're worried about the outward appearance. Jesus says, I'm coming to your house. See, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with that man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man in false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Why would Jesus say salvation's come to his house? Because Jesus came, and he was there. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable that when he was nigh to Jerusalem. You getting the picture? That they in the kingdom of God should immediately appear, a certain nobleman. So he's talking about being called, and it changed Zacchaeus' life. We see the evidence of salvation is not for God, it's for me. It's not for the Lord, it's for you. It's not to show the abundance of the things that we have, but the abundance of love that we've received. That's what the evidence of salvation is for. So you see, you have Zacchaeus. Now let's go to the book of Acts. You ready? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And when they gladly received, did they what? You have Peter's preaching here, and they gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So what did they do? They accepted Christ being presented to them by Peter, and then they immediately went out and what? Acknowledged that by water baptism. And then verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Was there a transformation? I once was lost, but now am found. The change of the mind caused a change of direction. Okay, turn to Acts chapter 8. I think we had a message this man was spoken of early on. Acts chapter 8. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Now, isn't it funny that things that are important in Jesus' time are important today? Oh, those poor Gazans, Palestinians. No. Israel causes the flowers to bloom in the desert. They need Israel to have control of that land for their lives to change. Gaza. It's in the news today. It's in the Bible then. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Old Testament had been preached down in Ethiopia. And there were people there looking for the Messiah to come. He was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading Isaiah. That's Isaiah. That's one of the biggest books of the Old Testament. He had the Old Testament. He's reading Isaiah. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him and read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Some plant, some water, but God granteth the increase. This man was trying to find the truth, and he needed help. Are you ready to help others find the truth? The place of the scripture which you read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shears, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Isn't it interesting? He comes up, and what book of Isaiah was he reading from? Isaiah 53, that presents the death and the sacrifice of the coming Messiah. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him who? And they went on their way, and there came a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Immediately, he's saying, I need to identify. And Philip saith, and this verse is not found in the NIV, all right? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the... And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. What did you see with the Ethiopian eunuch? When Jesus was presented, he then acknowledged him. He acknowledged him. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And Saul, who is that? That's Paul before his conversion. He was breathing threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord and went to the high priest. He was trying to bring them, get them convicted and killed, at least imprisoned, those who followed the way, because that's what it was called in those days, the way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you find on Damascus Road, you find Paul's conversion. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He's not saved. He's questioning. And Jesus speaks to him, and then he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord. He went from unconverted to converted, to being saved. What wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Rise and go into the city, and it should be told thee what thou must do. And you find the story of how Saul became Paul, and then he went where? To start professing him. There was a change. Acts 16. Evidence of salvation. Acts 16. Romans tells us whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Acts 16, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. She worshipped God, but did not know Christ. Heard us. Heard what? Paul preaching. Whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was, what? And her household, that means they also believed. She besought us, saying, If we have judged, you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Someone who the Roman government hated, someone who the Jews hated because he once was one of their lead hitmen, had now become the lead preacher of Jesus. She was seeking God, but did not know God. You know, that's the way people are. It's hard in this world to deny that there is a God. That's why there's so many people messed up with false spiritual beliefs. They're seeking God and don't know Him. So the devil steals that from their heart and gives them a false God to worship. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So you see here Lydia's conversion, and what'd she do? She received it and then immediately did what? Got baptized. Open identification with Jesus Christ. Baptism is nothing more than the answer of a heart that's received Christ. Because water doesn't save us. Okay? So you have Paul's conversion. You have Lydia's conversion. You have the Ethiopian conversion. Acts 16, verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Why would he want to kill himself? To protect his family. Because he was to keep them in. And if he failed in his duties, he and his family would suffer for it. But Paul cried a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and fell trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Isn't it interesting? The Philippian jailer fell asleep. You know, before he fell asleep, you know what was happening in the prison? Paul and Silas in chains, in the dark. "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Earthquake happens, the keeper awakening out of his sleep says, "Sirs, what must I do to be?" Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. Don't be a hang dog, hang mouth believer, please. Rejoice in what God has done for you. Not in what the world has kept from you. If you dwell on what God has done for you, your heart will then have that joy and that peace that the world sees. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." He made sure that his family heard it. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house, because the jailer lived there. His wife and his children heard it. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was what? He and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He'd taken off their shackles. He'd gone against the judgment was taking place for them. You know what he did? He identified with Jesus Christ. And it took away the fear of man. Better is to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Center verse of your Bible. Psalm 118 and verse 8. You can go look at the verse, not this morning, but look at it. Trust in the Lord. Don't put confidence in man. Here he was fearing of his death before conversion. After it, he wanted to identify with the ones who could bring about the death of his family. Because you know what they lost? They lost that temporal fear and gained eternal security. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Evidence of salvation. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our heart condemn us not, we have confidence towards God. 1 Thessalonians. This is the testimony Paul said that the Thessalonican believers had. Ready? Verse 8. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place that your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So their faith had been what? Spoken of all around. For they themselves show what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how that ye what? Turn from idols. You turn to God, repentance towards God. See, they turn from their idols to God, and to serve the true and living God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You say, why is that important? I'm going to give you five evidences of salvation found in the New Testament. We looked at John chapter 3 and verse 3. You found out Jesus said you must be born again. There needs to be a conversion experience. It's not just an assent of mentally what God's word says. You repent towards God. You take faith towards Jesus Christ. It's a conversion experience. Someone who says, well, this was just a process over a period of time. I just started believing, and I can't point to a time that I turned and acknowledged that I was a sinner. I just always believed. Wrong thing. There's got to be a conversion experience. There is a conversion. Turn to John chapter 8. Next thing we're going to show you that's needed. Conversion experience. And it's for what we see, because God already knows. If you believe in the omnipotence of God, you believe in His all power, right? That's what the word omnipotent means. Big, fancy, theological word, omnipotence. It means God's all powerful. Omniscience means God knows everything. Satan doesn't know everything, but God does. John chapter 8, let me see here. I didn't put a marker in. John chapter 8, verse 47. He that is of who? Heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You know what they do? They have a love for God's word. They're willing to listen. When two people love each other, you know what they like hearing? The other person's voice. It's not talk to the hand, because I'm not hearing. They heard God's word. They had a love for God's word. That's one of the evidence of salvation. There's the claim of an experience, and then there's the love of God's word. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. We started off this morning with that passage. 1 John 2. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. When you see someone else doing right, you're going to say that's different, right? You don't find born-again believers looting stores or shoplifting. You wouldn't think they're saved. Now, could they have been? You don't know what brought them to that place, but they're not doing what God would have them to do. So you look at that person and saying, that person is a wicked sinner. We keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is what? And the truth is not in him. So there's a love of God's word. There's a love of righteousness. He that saith he abideth in him, verse 6 of 1 John 2, ought, that means you need to do this. I can remember getting disciplined one time for not doing right. I got mad at my sister. I wasn't very old. I think I've told the story before. My mother was in the bathroom at the old house in Fairhaven. The shade was down, but the window was open. The screen was there. It was hot, and I had a fight with my sister out in the yard. And I pulled out, and I had my fresh, brand-new Boy Scout pocket knife. And I lost my temper, pulled out the blade, and said, I hate you. I'm going to cut you up. And my mother heard me, because I lost my temper with my sister. Who's the one I'm closest to? She's only a year older. All right? And I didn't know she heard me. But she made sure my father found out. And the belt that held up his pants became personally engaged with the seed of knowledge. And he dragged me by the ear into the basement, stood me next to his vise on the bench, stuck the blade of the knife down straight in so that the hearth or whatever, the main part of the knife, not the blade, was sticking up, took a hammer and went, choo, snapped that blade right off, said, put it in your pocket. I'm going to ask you every day where that knife is. And if you're not carrying it, you're going to get another spanking for 1 year. You'll never threaten your sister or your family members again. You're going to learn to get control of your temper or you're going to jail. Plain and simple. You know what I'm saying? Did my father not love me? Did my mother not love me? They knew I was theirs. But boy, there was a cost. And my words came out. And they didn't model that I had loved my family. So I had to be trained up so they might not depart from it. A love of righteousness. In this passage, in 1 John 2, it says in verse 3, hereby we do know. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him. Verse 5, hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth, he ought him also walk as he has walked. So, we look and we don't think the person's saved. You don't have the right, because if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You deal with a person who's saved who's not living right. You're dealing with is a lost person. You try to bring them to Christ that they say they're saved. Amen. Okay? You deal with it. You try to encourage them to accept the chastening that God's going to bring into their life. In John chapter 2, we find, and we won't turn there for sake of time, that in verses 23 and 25, the people believed on Christ because of the miracles that he had done. But they didn't believe in him to be saved, because Christ didn't commit himself to him. I could take you to James chapter 2 and verse 19. It says you believe in God. It tells us the devils also believe. Okay? Are the devils saved? The fallen angels? No. The Jews in John chapter 2 didn't believe on Jesus as Lord and Savior. They believed on him as a prophet. You can find it in John chapter 6 and verse 14. They thought he was a prophet, a miracle worker, a provider of physical needs. They were looking for someone, a prophet with power, who would deliver them from the bondage to Rome. And when he didn't do that, they rejected him, because they didn't know the Old Testament scriptures well enough to know that he would come first as a sacrifice before he'd come as a ruling king. They didn't understand the Messiah, that he was going to be the Savior from sin. They turned away from him, and they turned away from his preaching in John chapter 6, verse 60. Okay. But you know what happened? Peter refused to turn away, because he had genuine saving faith. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast what? And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you see it? The difference with Peter? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus warns, he tells them that many who call him Lord, Lord, will be false Christians. Turn there. Matthew 7. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in the name of the cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew ye, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And you have the parable of the wise man who built his house upon the rock. There's people who are going to trust in sign gifts. This is talking directly about the Jews during the tribulation. And there'll be gifts that are supposed to identify. Tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Why is there such an emphasis on gifts and not on obedience? Because the gift points and glorifies me. The obedience glorifies the one that I'm obedient to. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're finishing up quick. Ephesians chapter 4. What's true of the believer? That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former manner of life, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in what? Wherefore, putting away lying. Believer, should you be a liar? No. Do believers ever lie? Have you lied this past month? Don't raise your hand. Because if you don't raise your hand, I know you are lying. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. You liar. The evidence of salvation is not for God to know we're saved. It's for others to know we're saved. And to bring confidence to ourselves that we're right with Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Is the evidence there this morning enough to convict you? Is it there enough that somebody would say, you're not like other people? Why do you have peace as you're going through this? Why aren't you angry about that? Why can you forgive them when it seems unforgivable? Hereby we do know that we are of Him. The evidence of salvation. And all God's people said, take a break.